thankful for that. But Ecclesiastes chapter 2, and we're going to look, we're going to start in verse 1. It said, I said in mine heart, go to now, I will prove thee with myrrh. Therefore enjoy pleasure, and behold, this also is vanity. I said of laughter, it is mad, and of mirth, what doeth it? I sought in mine heart to give myself unto wine, yet acquainting with mine heart with wisdom, and to lay hold on folly, till I might see what was that good for the sons of men, which they should do under the heaven all the days of their life. I made me great works, I builded me houses, I planted me vineyards, I made me gardens and orchards, and I planted trees in them of all kinds of fruits. I made me pools of water, to water therewith the wood that bringeth forth trees. I got me servants and maidens, and had servants born in my house. Also I had great possessions of great and small cattle, above all that were in Jerusalem before me. I gathered me also silver and gold, and the peculiar treasure of kings and of the provinces. I got me men singers and woman singers, and the delights of the Son of Man as musical instruments, and that of all sorts. So I was great and increased more than all that were before me in Jerusalem. Also my wisdom remained with me. And whatsoever mine eyes desired, I kept not from them. I withheld not my heart from any joy, for my heart rejoiced in all my labor. And this was my portion of all my labor. Then I looked on all the works that my hands had wrought, and on the labor that I had labored to do. And behold, all was vanity and vexation of spirit, and there was no profit under the sun. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word tonight. Lord, I ask that you'd use me, fill me with the unction of the Holy Spirit. Lord, help us to learn from your word tonight. Lord, apply it to our lives. And Lord, I pray that you would just show us, Lord, what is going on in this world, what's really going on in the mind of people that are apart from you. We thank you for all these things in Jesus' name. And amen.
Amen.
So Ecclesiastes was written by King Solomon. He was the son of David. And in this book, the word vanity appears 37 times in the book. It's the most important word in the book of Ecclesiastes. And it has three meanings, really, are the three main meanings of the word vanity. It means empty, it means temporary, and it means unsatisfying or unsatisfactory. So Solomon, by this point, is an old man, and he is looking back over his life, and he is basically giving you, these are the results of a lifetime spent looking for happiness in this world. So if you want to see what it looks like to spend your whole life searching for happiness and contentment outside of God, outside of Jesus Christ, Solomon's life was that experiment. So we had looked at chapter 1, it's been a while ago, but here in chapter 2, he starts out and he first talks about how he went after pleasures. He says this in verse 1, I will prove thee with myrrh, therefore enjoy pleasure. And when he's talking about it, I believe he's talking about all kinds of pleasures. See, our mind, when we hear the word pleasure, a lot of times we think of sinful things, don't we? That's what our mind instantly goes to first, is that's the type that he must have been talking about. But in verse 2, he even mentions laughter. So when he's talking about pleasures, he is talking about, I believe, the whole gamut of things, the whole spectrum, especially things that aren't a sin, which I, you know, fun, games, entertainment, anything that brings amusement, you know, would be pleasure and fit into that category. And if you think about it today in our world, in our society, what do we've got? We've got amusement parks, you know, all over Ohio. We've got theaters. We've got stadiums. We've got arenas. I mean, just think of all the places just in Ohio you can go to be entertained, right? It's everywhere. They're huge, too. These places are enormous. And just think about it. What if you set out to visit all of those places that even just Ohio has to offer? It would take you a long time, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
But a lot of people, they don't do usually a variety of things. Usually there are certain things that they like to do, whether they like to go see movies or a certain sports team, or, you know, maybe they like to go on cruises for vacation or ride dirt bikes or horses, you know, just all sorts of things. And they will key into that sort of pleasure and spend a lot of time and energy and money. And what happens a lot of times for these events is you plan ahead, right? You save up your money, you buy the ticket, you go to the place, and you have what our society likes to call a memorable experience, right? And it only counts if you put it on social media. So you got to put it on Facebook or Instagram or something to show what you've done. And Solomon says all of this stuff is vanity. And see, this world would argue with him and say, now, wait a second. We put our pictures up. We were having a good time. How could it be vain? How could it be empty? We enjoyed ourselves. We had fun. We did all of these things. But remember, vanity, two of those meanings are temporary and empty. And you think about pleasures, if you really get honest with yourself and you step back and you think about it, that pleasures don't linger, right? The concert ends, the ball game's over, whatever it is, the vacation ends, all of these things. And if you think about it, if you did something in the pleasure category yesterday, is the satisfaction today is already gone or quickly fading away. It brings momentary happiness, maybe a couple hours, maybe even a few days, but then it leaves you, and then it always leaves you wanting more. Right? Planning the next thing, saving up for the next ticket, booking vacation days so you can go back to Disney World, just all of these things. And that's what he's saying. I tried pleasures all through my life. And at the end, I found that it was vain. Then in verse 3, he specifically talks about a certain type of pleasure. And he calls one out. And the one he calls out is alcohol. He says, I sought in mine heart to give myself unto wine. And see, modern Christianity struggles with this today, right? We struggle with, is this okay or not? Is this right or not? Now, most people will agree that the Bible is against drunkenness. You know, 1 Corinthians 6:10, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And a lot of churches will say that, you know, you stay away from drunkenness, but what about what we call social drinking? That's where the views start to go all across the board. You know what a lot of churches do? They just don't talk about it, right? Till they get to the restaurant all together after church, and they've all ordered different things. And that's when they realize what people's views are on it. But if you look at what he says in verse 3, I sought in mine heart to give myself unto wine. But look what it says. Yet acquainting mine heart with wisdom. And it's a little strange way to say this, but what he's saying is, in all the pleasures, I didn't limit myself till I got to this one, and I limited myself. He said, I was wise about drinking. I didn't do it in excess. I didn't do it in drunkenness. And the more I thought about that, it reminded me of what I hear at work a lot of times. They'll have conversations, my coworkers, I don't know if yours do, but they'll talk about these new craft breweries and different new beers that are coming out, and they got to go try these different things, and have you tried this place, and have you tried that, and then they talk about their favorite drink, and then that goes with whatever type of food. And this time of year, they were really excited about the holiday party at work, because after, as soon as it ended, they were going straight over to the bar, basically walking distance over there, and they were going to continue on from 4 to 10 and keep drinking and having fun and everything else. This is all they talked about, all they thought about. It compasses them so much. But you know what I thought about? Solomon was saying the same thing. I tasted, no doubt he tried many types of wines, became a connoisseur of it. He didn't get drunk, but he enjoyed it. And you know what he said at the end? It's vanity. Vanity, right? Social drinking. The one everyone says the Bible never condemns it. He says, this is what he's talking about. He said, I wasn't getting drunk. But in all of that, what did it gain me? Nothing. You know what the Bible says about drinking? If we're truthful, the Old Testament priests in Leviticus 10:9, do not drink wine nor strong drink now, nor thy sons with thee when they go into the tabernacle of the congregation, lest ye die. That's a pretty stern warning, isn't it? You know what we are today? We're the priests. And the veil is rent in twain. We can go all the way in now. He says, don't even drink it. The Nazarite vow included a separation from all wine and strong drink. The Bible has so many examples, kingdoms falling, all kinds of different things, a rape and everything else because alcohol was involved. Proverbs 21, wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. You may have heard all these, but this one, 2,600 years ago, Habakkuk 2:15. Woe unto them that giveth his neighbor drink. Right? Hands it to his neighbor. That puttest thy bottle to him, and makest him drunken also, that thou mayest look on their nakedness.
Yeah.
Is that not today?
Yeah.
Vanity and alcohol. 4 through 6. He goes on, not just pleasures now, but now he's switching gears to hard work. I made me great works. He talks about building houses, vineyards, gardens, orchards, ponds, all of these things. He worked very hard. He built grand buildings and gardens. And these things, no doubt, would have been amazing to look at. It would have been a great accomplishment. You know, all of this huge project coming together and it was finished. And the pride that would have come through finishing the project. And then that pride, the problem is, only lasts for a moment. And then it's on to the next thing. Have you ever met people like that? It's always, they got to have something else. They will, you know, whatever it is they're working on, whatever it is they're the thing they like to do, they'll get one thing done. Well, I need to add this. Well, I need to change that. Well, I want to build this bigger. And it just never, never ends. And he's saying, listen, if you're trying to find godly, if you're trying to find satisfaction and contentment in work, even hard work, you look back and that satisfaction will be temporary. It'll be fleeting. But in the end, you and I can't store up accomplishment. You meet people like that after they retire, right? All they talk about are the different things that they built and all of those things. But you look at Solomon and look at even all the grand things that he built that would have been amazing to look at. They're all gone today.
Yeah.
Not one thing stands.
Right.
And he's telling us, it just brings temporary satisfaction. You've got to build bigger and bigger and bigger. And I don't know about you, but I look at a lot of times the work I do, and it's going from one thing to the next. And as soon as you finish one thing, there's another thing to replace it. You never really gain any ground at all. You just, you know, you finish things, but there's so much more work to do, and it's just never ending. And then the other night when Jimmy was talking about his job where he takes the water, the excess water off the oil tanks and gets rid of it just to come right back and the water's come right back up. It's never ending. And he said he's been doing that for 40 years. He's been taking water off of those tanks, the same ones over and over again. And see, if we're really honest with ourselves, a lot of that work is the same way. If you're trying to find satisfaction in just work, it won't be there.
That's right.
It won't be there. That's what he's saying. And then finally, in verses 7 through 10, we got the next grouping. So not only all types of pleasures, not only all of the hard work, but now he's talking about possessions. And he said he had great possessions. Verse 7, he says he had much, or verse 8, much gold and silver. The stuff that he had was more than all that were before him in Jerusalem. And then in verse 10, if you're not getting, trying to picture what it looked like, because it's hard to picture, he tells us in verse 10, whatsoever mine eyes desired, I kept not from them. I withheld not my heart for with joy, all of these things that he, if he wanted it, he had it. And he's saying, even if you get everything you've always wanted, that will be vain too.
Yeah.
Empty, temporary, unsatisfying. Verse 11. Then I looked at all the works in my hands had wrought, and all the labor that I had labored to do, and behold, all was vanity and vexation of spirit, and there was no profit under the sun. That satisfaction that lasts, that contentment that's lasting, it never came. And Solomon is looking back as an old man over his life, and he's saying, I tried all of these things. I experimented with my own life with all of these things, and all of it was vanity. Like I said, you see that word over and over and over again throughout this book. He is going to explain all of the different things that he did. And the sad thing is, our society is trying to rerun the same experiment in their own lives and expecting to get a different result, and it won't work. It won't work. You chase after pleasures, you chase after careers, you chase after possessions, you chase after all of these things. And the sad thing is, the world is trying this experiment, but the even sadder thing, the tragic thing is, it's creeping into the church house, and we've got Christian people trying to redo the exact same experiment when we've got God's word that clearly tells us it will not work. It will be vain in the end. You know what? This world, all these things, they promise a lot, but they deliver only a little. You know, all of these things, whether it was pleasures, all of these things, what do they really do to improve our life? What really happens? It doesn't even bring the satisfaction, like I said. It creates a need to want more and more and more. We see that with possessions. We see that with pleasures. We see that with jobs. You know, you can get a good job. You can work hard. And then we get people caught in that, and they want a better job, right? They just keep wanting more and more, no matter what it is. They're always wanting more. And then on the sinful side of pleasures, not just does it leave you wanting more, but it leaves you unsatisfied, and it leaves you with the shame and the guilt because of what you've done. Right? Isn't that what happens? But you know what? Instead of seeking after empty things, instead of seeking after things that the devil says makes big promises on but never delivers, why don't we seek the things that do bring what they promise? Why don't we seek after the things that really bring a lasting satisfaction? And do you know what? Solomon, if he were here, he would tell us that it is clear that lasting satisfaction will never come from this world. We talked about a couple things tonight, but you can read this entire book and look at everything that he touches, everything that he talks about, and you'll see that it was clear. And you'll say, well, wait a second, Mike. He lived a long time ago. He doesn't know what he's talking about. Right? That's what some people will say. He doesn't know what he's talking about. He doesn't have the same things that we have today. And I'll challenge you with this. You know what? He was the king for a little over 30 years. And he was at peace the entire time. And he had wealth beyond measure. So he was the king, he had time, and he had wealth, right? Nobody's going to tell him no. He's got enough money to do whatever he wants, and he's got all that time. And you know what so when you look at him saying, I went after pleasures, and whatever my eyes saw, I didn't withhold it from him. Whatever my desire was, I didn't hold back. He is telling us that whatever you try in your whole lifetime, he's saying, I tried more.
Yeah.
Right? Because you and I, to seek after a lot of these things, we have to work hard and save up and plan ahead and schedule vacation. He didn't have to do any of that.
Yeah.
He just does it or calls it or orders it or whatever, and it happens. He's saying, listen, you'll never gain as much as I had, but it's empty, so don't try. You'll never experience as much as I experienced. And yes, I enjoyed things for a time. Yes, things were beautiful. Yes, you know, they brought temporary happiness, but never joy. Never lasting satisfaction. So don't try it. You know what he's saying? The only way you can get satisfaction is from a faithful and obedient life in Jesus Christ. He's the only one that can satisfy. And we say that, and we in our minds, we think, yes, that's true, but then we can get caught up in the same trap that this world is in. Only Jesus can satisfy. Why? Only He can give an eternal reward that will never decay. That moth isn't going to eat up, and the rust isn't going to corrupt, and it'll never go away. We'll never be shortchanged, and we'll get exactly the credit that's due. And in fact, we'll get more credit than it was ever due. And He's the only one that can give us more than if we try everything in this world. Isn't that wonderful to think about? The devil wants to convince us that we're constantly giving up things. But we are serving a God that we talked about this morning that has the ability to stop time, and He has the ability to turn back time. Why? Because time is His. He's under that control. So when it comes to the next life, He can just take time and throw it away and say, now we live forever. Right? What can you experience during eternity? Would you rather spend as much time and effort trying to explore this entire earth and save up and do all the things that's necessary? Fly everywhere, travel everywhere, do all those things. Or in the next life, when there's a new earth, and you have all the time you want.
Yeah.
And no lost luggage, no canceled flights, none of those things. No going to a place where you don't understand people. All of those things, you can go and experience all of it. I don't know about you. He loves us. He's got a place prepared for us. He's got a new Jerusalem. We've got a wedding supper of the Lamb. We've got all of these things. But I believe if He's going to create not only a new heaven, but a new earth, you think He's not going to let us in? I believe we're going to get to be able to go to and fro, just like the angels, just like Jesus. So you tell the devil, I'd rather explore this earth when you're in the pit, when you're in the lake of fire, when you're gone. That's when I'd rather do it. And I'd rather do things on the Lord's timeline. But if we're honest with ourselves, and this is what Solomon is in this book, he is honest with himself. And I believe he is looking back. And I don't believe he is bragging, because you see that word vanity over and over and over again. If he was bragging, he would have told us all the different things. He would have picked out some of the best things and listed them there. But no, he said pleasures, grouped them all together. Vanity. I believe he's looking back over his life with regret. Why did I chase all of that when I could have chased after exactly what God wanted?
Yeah.
When I could have made a lasting difference. What do we know? We know that yes, he did build the house of the Lord early in his kingdom. As a king, he did that. But what's his legacy afterward? He married wives from other nations and tried to mix idolatry in. I believe we've got a man that looks back with regret and repentance and saying, I don't know why I did that. Then you know what the Spirit of God said? Write it down. Warn others so they won't go down the exact same path. A man of God, in this chapter, trying to find satisfaction in pleasures, in hard work, and in possessions, and all he found was vanity. It was empty. It was temporary. And it was unsatisfying. I don't know about you, but I'm glad I'm satisfied with Jesus.
Amen.
Let's stand. It's a warning for us, but it's also an explanation for this world.
Yeah.
They're driven. Solomon was driven. And I believe that even in the middle, he had done all these things, but he's like, there's still more left to experience and to do, to build and to try and to acquire. And he was always wanting more and wanting more and wanting more. And even if the thing isn't sinful in and of itself, all the devil, see, the devil, the best thing, his greatest goal is to get us to denounce Christ and walk away and pick something else. If he can't do that, his next best goal is to get us to keep us so busy or to keep us apart from what God's will is. And this is part of it. To change the focus from God to what's out here. To what you can do, what you can experience. And if the devil can do that in a Christian's life, he's excited about that. Because one that's chasing after pleasures or any of these things and ignoring God is no help. That was the problem. He's looking back and he's saying, it was empty. I didn't help anybody. But guess what? You know how, what a blessing God is? He says, now wait a second. You feel like you've wasted it all, right? You feel like you've wasted all that life, and in many ways you have. But you write it down. And now your life will have meaning. Because others will see this, and it'll make them realize before it's too late, I've got to stop and I've got to turn. Think about it. How many do you know that used to worship with us have gotten caught up in some of these same things?
Yeah.
It's sad, isn't it? But we just need to pray that the Lord opens up their eyes and their hearts and makes them realize. Where's the satisfaction? And I'll stand here and tell you, I have tried. I think about early in my career, man, I tried to claw. I tried to do all of these things to move up and do all of that. And I remember one day I just stopped and I thought about it. And I said, why am I doing this? Why am I doing it? And you realize when I stopped and I said, you know what? I'm going to work and I'm going to work hard. But I'm not going to let it run my life. You realize it wasn't too long after that that God gave me different opportunities and blessings and things in work. Not when I was totally laser focused and what can I do to get it? When I just said, you know what, God, you just take care of it. I'm not going to worry about it. He said, all right, I will. We have to learn some of these lessons, but then sometimes they creep back. But I'm just glad that when you really step back and think about it, every time this world has fallen short, we've got a God that never has.
Amen.
I don't know about you, I'm satisfied today.
Amen.
I'm thankful today. He has blessed us with things. He has allowed us to enjoy a lot of things. He has let us work hard and different things like that. But I'm glad that those things don't drive our life.
Right.
So as we open up the altar, maybe you need to pray for somebody.